Time Select is your ticket to news without the noise. A daily digital edition of news, business, lifestyle, sport, and more. It's news you can trust anytime, anywhere. We know that's important now more than ever, and that's why we're offering a 60-day subscription to Time Select for just 60 Rand. Go to select.timeslive.co.za/buy to sign up for this great deal.
It is the end of week 4 of SA's national lockdown, and the country has just heard the news that we will be emerging from lockdown as of next week, Friday, the 1st of May.
Our people need to eat. They need to earn a living. Companies need to be able to produce and to trade. They need to generate revenue and keep their employees in employment. We have accordingly decided that beyond Thursday, the 30th of April, we should begin a gradual and phased recovery of economic activity.
News was met with cheers and jubilation in the streets of Johannesburg. The lockdown is officially being lifted, but our society will by no means be going back to normal, as strict regulations will be enforced to protect the health of our society. In the short podcast series, we follow Sunday Times reporter Alex Patrick and senior reporter Graham Hoskin as they track, record, and reflect on the real events and people who make up SA's biggest COVID-19 news stories. In today's episodes of Boots on the Ground, Behind SA's Lockdown, we are going to take a microscope to the plight of our neighbours both locally and across our borders, and consider what happens to our humanity when we ignore the suffering of those around us. For Boots on the Ground, Behind SA's Lockdown, I am Zama Lutuli. It appears that, like many in South Africa, President Ramaphosa saw the anguish of his neighbors and couldn't turn a blind eye. While President Ramaphosa showed sensitivity to the plight of South Africans, he could not extend the same sympathy to our northern neighbors in Zimbabwe.
We cannot take action today that we will deeply regret tomorrow. We must avoid a rushed reopening that could risk a spread which would need to be followed by another hard lockdown. Our borders will remain closed to international travel, except for the repatriation of South African nationals and foreign citizens.
Graham spent week 4 of SA's lockdown at the Bay Bridge border post, which separates South Africa from Zimbabwe.
Within days of President Cyril Ramaphosa announcing the national lockdown, Public Works and Infrastructure Minister Patricia de Lille revealed that a high security fence would be erected around Bait Bridge border post at a cost of 37 million rand. It was not long afterwards that reports began to emerge of the fence being breached as smugglers brought people and contraband into the country and helped thousands of starving Zimbabweans to gain access to food at shops in the nearby town of Musina. As reports of the widespread breach continued to mount, I decided to investigate the situation on the ground.
Graham spoke to an array of soldiers, farmers, and interested communities who, while eager to protect the new fence, seemed to understand that SA's northern neighbors are in an incredibly difficult situation at the moment.
It's almost 8. We're standing here on the border between South Africa and Zimbabwe. Just getting ready to go out on patrol, one of the night patrols along the border. So from about here onwards, we're patrolling for probably about 15 kilometers. And the guys that we're patrolling with are anti-poaching units, as well as farmers from the area. And they're looking for border crossers. Since the closing of the border, there's been a huge spike in the number of people illegally crossing into the country from Zimbabwe, where the food crisis is far worse than what it is here in South Africa. And with the shutting of the border, there's been a massive increase. We're hearing reports of starvation, as has been happening here in South Africa. And the guys are then coming across illegally, cutting through fences. This evening on the way to where we are now, we saw a whole lot of guys who were arrested by Defence Force. When we were en route out, we saw guys crossing literally 300 metres in front of us that just cut the fence. So, Tabani, we've just seen now the soldiers chasing after those who are coming across here. How difficult is it?
It's very difficult, as you see. Those people, they are parents and they are ladies, and the soldiers are harassing them time and again. So it's very difficult to live there in Zimbabwe. They just came here for the sake of food.
Zimbabwe, Messina, has become a suburb of Zimbabwe. It's like us closing, you closing me from Polokwane, because there are thousands of Zimbabweans that are dependent on the town. This won't work until the borders are.
So you were saying now about the hunger and the motivation.
So yeah, so you won't convince me that helping someone who's hungry, that I'm doing a bad thing, no matter what we do to help these guys. Mm. Not that we're helping them, but I'm not going to obstruct them.
Mm. And do you think it would just be because, and they would, it would lead to further problems?
Exactly, yeah, it will lead to further problems.
What kind of problems do you think?
Like mass immigration. People coming in masses and not just smuggling food, I mean coming in, because yeah. There is nothing on that side.
Yeah.
That's one of the main problems which I see in the coming future. Yeah. Is a lot of people coming in because there is literally nothing. And when that starts to happen, when it's, what you gonna do? What would you do?
Yeah. What are people bringing across and what are people taking back to Zimbabwe?
The thing that they are taking to Zimbabwe is the groceries. Cooking oil, washing powders, I'm sure the groceries, only the groceries.
Okay. And how expensive is the food in Zimbabwe and compared to here in South Africa?
Yeah, I just understand the food in Zimbabwe is very expensive, because I heard one of my colleagues here saying now the 50 kg meal is costing about 500 rands for 50 kg.
But the main crisis is now, if your neighbor is starving, you're not going to sleep. You're going to have to stay awake 24/7. Otherwise, because he's starving, his family is starving, he'll go to extremes to try and just feed his family.
Graham also managed to speak to several smugglers during his patrol of the fence.
So we just watched people walking across the, climbing through the fence and underneath the fence, being led by guides over the border. They were coming from South Africa into Zimbabwe. You could see they were loaded with provisions, and not even 10 minutes later, there's another group of people with donkeys that are coming up to a new spot. You can hear the donkeys in the background. Guys are busy gathering their donkeys. From where we are, we're on a small koppie, and we can look down onto the river. It's a perfect vantage point. You can hear the bells on donkeys, which indicate where the people are, where the smugglers are, where they're waiting for those who they're going to take across the border for us. He's clearly seen us. He's not fazed at all.
He says the cigarette smugglers are the guys who cut this thing, because they cut here. And when they come round two, they are not going to use the same route. They will cut some. So they do that because of they are afraid of the army.
Okay.
So they cut here, they don't use this, they will cut somewhere else.
Okay. Like this. So just ask him if it's... Is this fence easy to cut through?
Fence is simple to cut.
Yeah, I can only fly right.
Okay. It's easy as long as you've got a plan.
Okay. Yeah. So if the army fixes the hole here, will they cut somewhere else quickly, or does it take?
That's what he's saying.
So this fence doesn't, it doesn't matter if they plug a hole?
No. It doesn't matter. Anyway, because the hole is only used once, according to what he's saying.
Okay. Yeah. And then how often do the smugglers come across?
Yeah.
Anytime.
Oh.
We'll see you.
Oh, okay. So the smugglers, they come anytime, but mostly at night.
You say you know this, Zach?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and you've caught him.
Benda. So, Picard.
How much does he charge people to take stuff across, like sugar or maize? And
how much do they pay him?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my boss, yeah. What go badera you mean?
Ababa badela bodao renga zito barene tiba tuza ba wale.
Eh, dikofesese, dikofuzisa. Spingade yuko wara jindu wako badela bugai.
Okay, abado bangaro ba wala mean ba wala boxi bunti kana 50 kg ba bampa 10 rand.
If he carries 50 kg of millimil across the river, it's 10 rand. It will. He says it differs with what he's carrying. So it's gonna differ.
And where is he, like, what's he carrying most? Is it mainly, is it cigarettes? Is it food?
No,
maize?
No. These guys are, we'll go what is you do up it's in my maize meal, cooking oil, nami,
flour,
sugar, whatever, and yeah, like potato,
yes,
onions.
Okay. And how long does it take to move, say, like, stuff across the river? Is it like, can he do it quite quickly, or is it?
You know, spingade goro ikotange, ne? Udo just spingade view, uncha zote goro kitibana wenge.
Renga idea kana 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Yo.
20 minutes to get. You know, ange one batu bangane water view.
Renga kwanza about 40 kana
about. About 40 people. Yeah.
Sure. So that and in that 20 minutes, how much will they move? Is it like?
Usually a bucky load.
Bucky load, yeah. In 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So what do you see happening here on the river and the border?
What I'm seeing happening here, because I was born and brought here, the thing is I see these people coming from Zimbabwe. They come, before this fence was put here, they used to come here and go and buy food. They used to come here with a scotch cart and loading their stuff. Some they are surviving and carrying people's goods here by the river as a way of surviving. And then now, after they put the fence, it's now a big challenge for them to get food.
Interrupting the last interview you heard, SANDF patrols caught and arrested several of the illegal border jumpers. This is what it sounded like.
Who are you? I'm asking for your, where are your IDs? Yes. Okay, come with us.
So the SANDF have just arrested a whole lot of people from Zimbabwe who were here on the bank. We spotted them coming across the river, or walking towards the river across the road. They came through the fence. A whole lot managed to escape, but a couple got caught.
Whether out of necessity or criminality, crossing any borders at this stage is still illegal. South African authorities, while no doubt showing empathy to the plight of struggling Zimbabwean border jumpers, still had to enforce the law. Our stores may still be stocked, but we have no shortage of hungry people within South Africa. After a short break, we follow Alex into Power Park to investigate some local feeding schemes aimed at helping our neighbors a little closer to home.
Time Select is your ticket to news without the noise, a daily digital edition of news, business, lifestyle, sport, and more. It's news you can trust anytime, anywhere. We know that's important now more than ever, and that's why we're offering a 60-day subscription to Time Select for just 60 Rand. Go to select.timeslive.co.za/buy to sign up for this great deal.
And now, back to our story. In week 4 of lockdown, Alex followed community feeding projects and got a sense of how those who had noticed strife in their own communities had band together to try and bring relief to their areas.
We believe it's day 25. It's been so many days of lockdown, we're not really sure anymore, but it's a Monday and we are at a place called Power Park, which is in Soweto. Just behind Power Park is the very impoverished township of Elias Motsoaledi. And today we are with volunteers who are handing out food packs. They've done their research. They come into these communities and they go door to door. But every time, even though they've planned for extra people to arrive, they've been swamped. So we are on a disused tennis court and the trucks are going to set up shop here. And yeah, there's about 1,100 parcels. There were only meant to be 500, but they have realized in the past that they've been swamped. So we've got some of the helpers here instructing everyone to stand 1 meter apart. So everybody's standing with their arms out, making sure that they're practicing the whole social distancing.
1 meter, ne?
And they're moving the queue very quickly as they can. It's quite a task because the queue is very long and everybody has kind of already piled into the queue. As the queue progresses, they go through different training stations, so they're getting information as well as food.
Hello, sir. Good on you.
How's it been going? Is it tough?
It's tough.
How far did you walk?
I'm standing near the Power Park.
Yeah, that's safe.
That's like about a kilometre and a half, eh?
Yeah, a kilometre and a half.
And you're on crutches here.
Yes.
What happened, sir?
I fell down.
The man we've just spoken to is struggling with crutches. He keeps dropping the produce. He's still got over a kilometre to walk to his home in Power Park. And I'm not entirely sure how he's going to manage the journey when he's clearly in a lot of pain.
Alex explains a lot of the volunteers are originally from Power Park and its surrounding communities and are doing their best to give back. But they are always weary when they do not have enough supplies for everyone and have to turn back faces they see every day.
This is your community, hey?
Yes, this is, yeah, this is where I grew up.
This is where you grew up, and are you recognizing a lot of neighbors and friends in the queue?
Yeah, a lot of people I grew up with, you know, elderly people I know, I grew up under, yeah, and a lot of friends as well.
Is it? And yes. What do they think about what you're doing here?
They're excited, they're very proud, and they, you know, they're happy. Mm.
Yeah. Is it going to be enough for them?
Yeah, it's going to be enough. I think because we have these 500 and another 500 that we're still going to pick up.
Yeah. And how long will these food packages last?
One with mealie and a loaf of bread lasts about 5 days.
Okay.
Yes.
For
a family of four. Mm. Yes.
And are they recognizing your community? Do they recognize you as well?
Yes, yes, so some of them, yes, they did. And some of them, they recognize the Kaziwas. And some of the guys here as well.
Oh, yes. Brilliant. Tell me, as a community member, when you're handing to people who are your neighbors and everything, does it make you upset or happy, or what is the feeling that you're getting?
It makes me very happy because helping a neighbor, it's like helping a cousin, helping your neighborhoods, it's like helping family.
My first name is Stanley. My surname is Itsikhetse. I'm actually a deputy director in the office of the MMC of Environment and Infrastructure Services Department. What we are doing is that because of the COVID-19 pandemic, our stakeholders, in this particular instance, the trolley pushers, we call them waste pickers. Township language called them abakheris, right? Have not been able to do, you know, their normal recycling from our dustbins every time when they're taken out. So basically what it means is that this pandemic has immediately made them to face the harshest poverty, because they're not able to generate income, they're not able to buy food and so forth. So we opted that we should go on a roadshow on all the areas where we have waste pickers, and we have been going around giving food to them.
And have you seen any hiccups? Have there been any hiccups along the way?
I mean, there's been hiccups from day one. I mean, once people start going out here with food parcels, people outside are going to see them and the gate will flock. We just could not handle the influx of people that were coming in to want to get food parcels. And it's quite hectic, and it's not easy to say to people, but here we are giving this group of people. We end up giving those that are here. It is heartbroken. We wish as a city, as a government, we could do more to assist our people. I mean, this exposes the gravity of the problems that the country is facing.
Is it enough what we're doing now?
No, it will never be enough. Giving a person food, remember the food we are buying here, it's because of what we think is a staple food that people need. The person may be having a baby, an infant, we don't give baby food here. A person may be having sugar, diabetes, high blood and all those things, we are not providing whatever is necessary for them to be able to survive. We are just giving them food for them to be able to eat at least.
And unfortunately, on this day, the feeding project did run out of food parcels, leaving behind confused and disappointed community members.
That's a tiny queue, which we first began at, you know, about maybe 20 people, is now a throng of people. I mean, this queue extends, I would guess, like maybe 500 meters. It's so big. There's just no way that 1,000 food parcels is going to feed any of the new people in this queue. I mean, this must be the entire community. I think they've just told them there's no more food. JMPD have told people to leave the queue because there's no more food parcels. It seems like after mild disappointment, the queue is just lining up still. I mean, there are bunches of people. This is not... There's no way that it's legal in terms of these lockdown laws to have this many people, thousands strong. It's just not... Yeah, there's just not enough food for everybody. Community members are busy bargaining with each other to share the food that they have. Those who have been lucky enough to grab a packet are being asked to share with other community members. But there's a lot of people just standing around, not really sure what to do now that all the food is gone.
COVID-19 is a pandemic, sweeping the entire globe and spreading anxiety in communities across the world. And while the urge to protect our own is strong, a global pandemic is a good time to remember that we form a part of a global community. If you have excess, we at Multimedia Life ask you to consider those in the communities throughout the world who may be battling. Contact your local charitable organizations and help out where you can. Confirmed cases and related deaths are mounting, but we remain hopeful that the efforts taken by the government, essential services, and communities will make a difference. For Boots on the Ground, Behind SA's National Lockdown, a production of Multimedia Live, I am Zamalutuli.
You are listening to Boots on the Ground, behind SA's national lockdown. Boots on the Ground is a short podcast series documenting South Africa's national lockdown as a result of the outbreak of COVID-19. Boots on the Ground is a true piece of mobile journalism. All interviews, voices, and sound effects have been gathered using nothing but smartphones. Boots on the Ground is a production of Multimedia Live, a division of Arena Holdings. Narration done by Samar Lutuli. Audio gathered by Graham Hoskin and Alex Patrick. Sound design and editing by Paige Muller. Production by Multimedia Head Scott Peter Smith. To catch the next episode of Boots on the Ground for free, please subscribe to the podcast on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.